Hello and welcome to Trending Now with Josh Arnold and Rick Moore. I am Rick Moore. Josh Arnold is here as our co-host. Our producer and engineer, as always, is Bill Proposky. And this is sort of a, well, Trending Now, and you get it. We're a couple of old guys trying to make it sound like that we know what the hell's going on.
That's exactly it.
You see all this stuff, Trending Now. But we do have, it's a very informative program. Josh has been doing this now for a number of years with MSO News Sports. We are a division of MSO, or a division of More Stuff Online, I should say. And Josh has been doing this for a number of years, and Josh, your guest this morning is?
David Slade, who is the Vice President of Cricket Press, a family-owned business for three generations, and he's going to talk to us about the business as well as some of his activism in the community.
And that's in Manchester by the Sea.
That's correct.
And is he a Rotarian?
He is.
I knew it. Someday, you're going to have a guest who's not a Rotarian, and I'm going to miss it. Okay, that's good. Just shows you how involved.
Well, we're still working to convert. So
well, that's right, yeah, that's right, yeah. And doing a good job. What was interesting, though, is that I saw a piece on 60 Minutes lately that said one of the a potential cure for many cancers is the use of the polio vaccine. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't.
But the polio vaccine has been instrumental in killing some cancers, which has been remarkable. I guess it's on the fast track to be, I don't know if marketed is the right word, but it's something that the research has shown is a good sign for anti-cancer treatment, is using the polio virus. They strip something off the virus and then use that, inject it into, and God, don't quote me anybody, please, look up the thing on 60 Minutes, but and then that polio thing multiplies within the cancer cell, but it kills the cancer.
Wow.
And does not create polio.
Wow.
The debilitating effects of polio are not there. It was a remarkable piece on 60 Minutes. I think it was almost an hour show, if I recall. At any rate, David Slade will be here via the telephone. At the bottom of the hour, I will be talking, I'm really excited about this, to Rex Fowler of Aztec Two-Step.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to be playing at Chalon-Lieu in about a month, and Aztec Two-Step has been around for a long time, and they'll be playing with the, I can't pronounce it, I've never been able to, the Poussart Dart Band, Poussart Dart Band, and they've been around. I remember when Dwayne Glasscock used to talk about them on BCN. So we'll have Rex Fowler, one of the founding members of the duo Aztec Two-Step. Also talk with Marion Larson. We'll talk about that later on. She's at the Division of Fisheries and Wildlife, and we're also going to talk about Chief Campanello and other things as well. Also have an interview coming up. Not an interview, but actually a playback of a presentation that took place this week at the Veterans Administration brand new clinic in Gloucester. So all that's coming up here on Trending Now with Josh and Rick. And also, if you get a chance, send us suggestions, critique, compliments, complaints, whatever, at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. And you can also get a hold of Josh personally.
josharnold@verizon.net.
There you go. Okay, we'll take a very quick break, and we'll come back with our first guest of the day. You're listening to Trending Now with Josh and Rick at msonewsports.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E glass, low maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Stay in contact with us by following us on Twitter at MSO News Sports. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. MSO News Sports, keeping you in contact with the North Shore.
Welcome back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Our first guest is David Slade. David, welcome to the program.
Welcome, and thank you for having me, Josh.
Guys, excuse me. I got to interrupt. David, I'm Rick Moore, the co-host here, but I got to let you know we're doing a major, and I'm letting our audience know also, major reconstruction here at the studio, so you're going to hear some pounding and some saws probably, but please try not to let it distract you, and I apologize for the noise.
So, welcome to the program, David.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you for having me.
Great. Now, usually start out when we have a guest. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, and then, you know, tell us about Cricket Press. I know it's enjoyed a long history here in the community, and then we can talk a little bit about some of the good things that you're doing in the volunteer world.
Okay, well, thank you. First of all, I am president of the Cricket Press, Inc. In Manchester, Massachusetts. We are commercial printers, and we also publish the Manchester Cricket, a weekly newspaper. I am married to my lovely wife, Patricia Slade, and we've been married for 42 years and have three lovely daughters, Lauren Buxer, who is married and has a six-year-old, Peyton, and they live in Lynn. I have a daughter, Catherine Dorrington. She and her husband have three daughters, Lily, Abigail, and Samantha, and they live in South Portland, Maine. And our third daughter, Brittany White, lives in Medford with her husband and has no children as of yet. As I mentioned, I am president of the Cricket Press and a member of the third generation to be involved with this business. So there's a little background. I attended St. Peter's Boys High School in Gloucester and graduated in the first graduating class, 1969, along with several members from our Rotary Club. And I attended Northeastern University, where I graduated with a degree in business in 1974. As far as the business, Josh, I'll give you a little background on how it started. My grandfather was a businessman in Manchester. He owned and operated a fish business. And then in 1913, he purchased the printing business and called it the Manchester Company. In 1922, my grandfather and a gentleman by the name of Isaac Marshall formed a merger between the Manchester Printing Company and the Manchester Cricket. The Manchester Cricket was a weekly newspaper that began its circulation on May 19, 1888, and the two companies incorporated under the laws of Massachusetts as the Cricket Press, Incorporated. Mr. Marshall was the president and treasurer of the new business firm, and my grandfather was the first clerk. In 1945, Mr. Marshall retired, and my grandfather replaced him as the editor of the Manchester Cricket, until my father, Daniel F. Slade, returned to the family business following his graduation from Syracuse University and his tour of duty with the United States Marine Corps during World War II. My uncle, Harry E. Slade, Jr., joined the business following his graduation from Wentworth Institute in a tour of duty in the United States Army. When my grandfather died in 1973, my uncle, Harry E. Slade, Jr., took over as president of the business. In 1979, my father turned over his position as editor to my brother, Daniel B. Slade, who became the Cricket's fourth editor. In 2003, my brother retired as editor due to health concerns, and my wife, Patricia C. Slade, who was already working at the Cricket, replaced him and became the fifth editor of the Manchester Cricket. As I mentioned, I am president and treasurer of the Cricket, and I oversee the commercial printing end of the business. That gives you a little bit of background to the company. And if you'd like, Josh, I can tell you how the name Cricket originated.
I'd love that.
All right, the name Cricket. Before Manchester was Manchester, the village was known as Jeffrey's Creek, which was a tiny settlement having been founded some time previous to 1635 on the shores of a creek making in from the sea. William Jeffrey, who came from England, was the leader among them, and the little bank forming the village became known as Creekites. In 1645, the name was changed to Manchester, but the name Creekites clung to its inhabitants. In the course of time, it was changed by evolution to Cricket. When the newspaper was born in 1888, the publisher thought that the name Cricket appropriate, and it's been that way ever since. So that gives you a little background.
Wow, that's neat.
Cricket.
That's great. That's great. Now, and you also are a full-scale retail commercial printing operation as well as the publication of the paper.
That is correct. We've, as I we've been in business quite a while. We've seen a lot of changes in technology since when I first started, which was probably about when I was 12 years old, going from hot metal to offset printing and now digital printing. So it's been a lot of changes in the industry since I started working here.
Great. tell us, the newspaper is still a weekly?
The newspaper is still a weekly. We probably haven't printed the newspaper for 30 to 40 years. And what happened, we could no longer acquire the paper to print it. It came on large rolls. The press was antiquated. There were a lot of changes in the technology. So it only made sense for us to outsource the paper rather than invest $1 million into a press that we would only be using one day a week. So we started by having it printed at the Beverly Times when the Beverly Times was still in existence, and then when the Salem News took over the Beverly Times, and then there were several other owners. Currently, it's printed at the Lawrence Eagle Tribune. We put the paper together beginning Monday, Tuesday, and then we have a deadline of around noontime on Wednesday where we have to email PDFs of the pages to the Lawrence Eagle Tribune. They actually print it Wednesday evening, and we pick it up Thursday.
Wow, that's great. I didn't realize those kind of changes, and that's... So the Eagle Tribune, it used to be Essex County newspapers, and they were bought out by Eagle Tribune papers.
That's correct.
That's great. So tell us, I know you're involved, have been involved in a number of civic organizations and continue to be involved in some. I know years ago you were involved in the Manchester Parade and Bishop Fenwick or...
Yeah, there's a number that I still belong to. There's a number that I've worked on. Stems back to my grandfather. I mean, he was always involved in the community as either a selectman or a member of the finance committee or the planning board. My dad, the same way. He probably started several organizations in town, the Athletic Association, the Boosters. He was involved with the Smaller Business Association in New England. So sort of, and my brother as well, he was always involved with the scouting and as well as my sister. She was always and still is active in the scouting program. Currently, I serve on the finance committee and the golf committee at Bishop Fenwick High School. I was a member of the school's advisory board and board of trustees for 15 years. And while my daughters attended Bishop Fenwick High School in Peabody, I was president of the Softball Boosters Club. I'm also a member of the board of trustees of the Cape Ann Savings Bank and have been serving that in that capacity since 1996. I am currently on the board of directors of the Manchester Essex Education Fund. I am still serving on the board of the Manchester Summer Stage. Previous, I was a member of the 4th of July Parade Committee here in town. I was a member of the Downtown Improvement Committee, and I was actually on the board of the KPN Chamber, which my wife, Pat, is currently serving as the second vice president. I was a past president of the Manchester Athletic Association and coached many years in the girls' softball program. I also served on the board of the American Red Cross. Currently, I still serve on the altar at Sacred Heart Parish in Manchester, which is my parish. And currently, I am the president-elect of the Gloucester Rotary Club and will be installed as president at the end of this month.
Great.
That's about it.
Yeah, well, that seems like quite a bit. What are your plans going forward for Rotary?
Well, I think it's an honor to be considered as president, and it's a great club with a great legacy. I look forward to continuing that legacy and hopefully growing the club by a few different things that I've been working on, which I will report on June 28th when I'm installed as the club president.
Good. great. What have been some of the challenges and changes that you've seen in your work in community service? How is it the same as when you started 10 or 15 years ago with some of these organizations, and how is it different?
As far as organizations, one of the things that you see is unfortunately, you see a lot of organizations that are failing, and due to numbers. I mean, even the American Legion or the VFW, I mean, they're having their problems with membership. The local Masons, the Lions Club, all the social and fraternal organizations, they're having issues with numbers. And I think it's just the way the world has changed. I mean, now you have to have... In many instances, both parents have to be working just to be able to support their lifestyle, and they just don't have the time to be able to join the organizations. I think back to when my dad belonged. You know, back then, that was the thing to do. They didn't have all these other options that they had. You know, they had one car, so they could only go one place. Now, most families, there's two or three cars in the family. So, I mean, I think the times have changed, and people just don't have the available time to belong to a lot of the organizations. Fortunately, our Rotary Club is very stable. We have around 65 members. It's been that way for years. You know, we lose a few, we add a few. And one of my goals is to try and add about 10 new members this year without losing any. So we have a strong club, and I look forward to the challenge of keeping it that way.
David, this is Rick Moore again. I wonder if I might ask you about the Cricket Press. I know that over the years you've been established in town as a real community member as well in terms of employment. And I also know that you have helped some people, some members of the community who might find getting employment difficult. So tell us a little bit about the operation, the day-to-day operation, and your staff.
Well, even going over the years, we've downsized. I mean, just because of the changes in technology, and because people now aren't printing as much as they used to. I mean, so much can be done on the internet, and people aren't printing as much on paper. They're putting their newsletters through social media. At one time we had 28 employees here, and right now we have 18. And but I mean, we have a great team, a great group of employees, and probably most of them are from out of town, other than my wife and myself, and one of the and maybe two others. Most of them are either from the Gloucester, Amesbury, Beverly area.
And what are the challenges with the technology, David? Because I know that newspapers, as you mentioned, never mind just the actual physical problem with the paper itself, getting paper, but also the challenges of the internet, instantaneous news, and all of that. How has it affected your overall business, and what have you guys done to make the changes?
Well, fortunately, it really hasn't affected us too much, because people in town want to read the newspaper. They want to read the Cricket. Yes, we have younger generation wants to see if we have it online, which we haven't yet. We've looked into it, but still, people still like to pick it up. And we have our circulation's around 2,000. Some of the people get subscriptions through the mail. Some of them would rather pick them up downtown in one of the local stores. Fortunately for us, you know, we really haven't lost that many as far as numbers in printing the paper. And as opposed to the larger papers, in the Globe or the Herald or even the Salem News, I mean, they can go online, so it makes a difference as far as printing the paper. But we've been pretty fortunate that, you know, we still have the advertising, and we still have the people that subscribe to the paper.
I know that in talking with folks like Ray Lamont and Dave Olson and others on other shows we've done here about the changing role of the press, years ago, if you look, pick up the Boston Globe, that first or second week in January was this massive help wanted that everybody looked forward to. Now help wanted isn't a big deal because the whole internet World Wide Web has changed it. So that if you're a company, your jobs are listed in your website. Your jobs are listed with a job aggregator or a job service. And so a big piece of that's been pulled out of print newspaper and it's gone electronically. And so I'm sure that that kind of impact hits all of newspapers and it changes the dynamic of advertising across the board.
It does, but as I mentioned, it's Manchester's. There's only I think still under 6,000 people that live here in town, and the people want to get the paper because we have all the news. And even though it's a weekly, we have all the news about the schools and the activities coming up in the community, and especially the schools. And that's why we went into Essex, is because where the two schools have regionalized. We actually have a special page for Essex, so the people that have children here at in the school system, they can see what's going on locally in town.
And it's a different news cycle because it's a weekly, so you're not as adversely impacted as the dailies probably are, and that quest for the up-to-the-minute news that Rick was talking about.
Yeah.
Good. We got a few more minutes left here. Some of the other stuff that you're doing, tell us a little bit about the Gloucester Rotary Club and what's coming. I know you're taking over as the president. And there are certain things they do every year and so forth. What else is on the horizon that you could share with us?
Well, obviously, in July, we have the Summer Social coming up, which is something we do every year. We do a tour around Cape Ann on... One of the vessels out of by Gloucester House, and it's a fun evening. We have the pancake breakfast coming up in August, so that'll be the big thing on our agenda. And then following that, there will be the comedy night. I mean, those are the first things that we generally do, and then following that, we've got to get moving on the calendar. We have the yearly calendar that we print, which is a great fundraiser for the club. Things that I would like to see done a little bit differently is, last evening I attended a meeting down in Rockport at the Rockport Rotary Club. It was their Thursday night evening meeting, and that's something I like to introduce to our club. It's not a sit down dinner. It's hors d'oeuvres followed by a meeting, and it's fun. And it's a way of attracting some new members, service members that don't have the time to attend the meetings during the middle of the day. So that's something I want to bring up to my board as soon as we get started and see if we can't try and do something like that for our club and try and grow the club.
Great. And, of course, you mentioned the pancake breakfast, and that's always the lead-off event in the Waterfront Festival that happens every year here in Gloucester. Festival was started by Mike Costello back when he was executive director of the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, and Howard and Charlie Foster, for many, many years, they co-chaired that, and it was such a successful event. It's a great fundraiser for several local organizations. I think the Rose Baker Senior Center is one of the recipients. There's the teen leadership at the YMCA, and there's one other local nonprofit that benefits from it.
And it's an all-hands on-duty kind of thing. Everybody that's in the club shows up to do something, whether it's opening up to clean, 5 o'clock in the morning, going to get the food in the freezer, to starting the grills, to packing up the tables and chairs to go back to the rental place afterwards. So,
and that's one of the great things about our club is that everybody pitches in and does their part.
And of course, it's held up between Stagefort Park and the bandstand, and those are big events. Those are big projects that the Gloucester Rotary Club has taken on over the years and maintained. Want to thank you for being a guest with us here on Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and we certainly wish you the very best with your business operations and your continued philanthropic activities in the community.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Thanks, David.
Okay, Josh. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B average or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we have Trending Now here on MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, along with Josh Arnold. Our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, is we have to change seats here so I can get closer to the controls. I did talk with Marion Larson of the Division of Fisheries and Wildlife before we went on the air today, and as most people in the area know, there is a piping plover situation in Gloucester at Good Harbor Beach, or also known as piping plovers. I prefer plover. You can say plover because you like that broad A. There are two birds there that apparently have dropped some eggs and are nesting there. Apparently, I haven't seen them, but therefore 40,000 square feet of acreage has been roped off at Good Harbor. And we will be talking next week with John Regison of the Division of Fisheries and Wildlife to get more information about the piping plovers and the effect on the community and so on, and how to protect the birds, and then how long this restriction may last over at Good Harbor Beach. So we don't have the interview today. I've been tracking this down for 2 weeks trying to get a hold of these people, and finally did today. And again, my thanks to Marion Larson of the Division of Fisheries and Wildlife. We appreciate that. Talk with Joe Lucido a couple of weeks ago. He is the operations manager at the Gloucester DPW, and he informed us of everything that was going on. So going into the beach season, which begins in earnest now, I guess, there is a substantial area of Good Harbor Beach roped off, but it's not prohibitive. There's still room out there for everybody.
Good.
So we can coexist with the birds, apparently. What was the other thing? I had some other information to share as well. I'll see if I can find it here somewhere on my in my notes. But don't forget, we have live baseball coming up as the MIAA tournament continues. On Monday, we will have Belmont at Danvers from Twy Field. Not sure of the start time on that yet, so watch for our posts. We'll take another break, then we're going to come back and talk with Aztec Two-Step about a concert coming up at Shilin Lu up in Rockport. So this is Trending Now with Josh and Rick at msonewsports.com. Appreciate your being with us. Pass the word along. Send us an email at msonewsports@gmail.com.
Take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
All right, joining us now live is Rex Fowler of Aztec Two-Step, and we didn't even get a chance to do a little pregame preparation. So, Rex, first of all, thank you for joining us on MSO News Sports on Trending Now.
Well, thanks for having me and, you know, giving me the opportunity to talk about our show.
Yeah, let's get into it.
I have this right. Chalin-Louis?
You know what? you're asking the wrong guy. I think it's Chalin-Lou, okay? I'm not sure.
Okay, well, it's somewhere between the two.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll follow your lead because you're the pro, and I'm just I'm trying to figure this stuff out.
Believe me, it looks like we're playing in Vietnam somewhere. To me, but I mean, I don't think we are. We're going to be up in Rockport, which is a great town, especially in July, and the venue is superb. I mean, even if your listening audience has not gone there and they can't make or don't care about making our show, it's really a destination venue. So I really highly recommend people who haven't been there yet to go see a show there. It's a superb venue.
Wow, what a nice thing to say. Very impressive. Yeah, I've been up there for a couple of shows, and it is absolutely remarkable to have this in our little neck of the woods. Now, Rex, are you originally from the area?
No, Neil and I met in Boston, but he came up from New York City. I came down from Pittsfield, Maine. Of course, everybody knows Pittsfield, Maine. It's the home of the International Egg Festival.
Okay. Oh, I knew that. Yeah, okay.
You know, here's what the folks would say when they came down to the Egg Festival from, you know, the suburbs like Palmyra and Detroit. They call it Detroit up there. They said, "We don't get to town too often, but when we do, bang, goes the egg money."
Okay.
So there you go.
Okay. All right. Well,
yeah,
it's a different environment. And Rex, you know, Neil Schulman is your co-band member, your partner. Please inform us. I know that I was telling my co-host here, Josh Arnold, that I remember listening back in the days of WBCN here in Boston about the Poussart Dart Band. I can't even pronounce that.
Yeah, and that's right. John Poussart Dart, and he was a mainstay in the Boston area back in the day, like we were, you know. We've done a ton of shows with him. We do an annual show down in North Salem, Connecticut, for an equine retirement farm for
wow.
horses and
mm-hmm.
stuff. And he and Jonathan Edwards and us do this annual show. And Jonathan Edwards and John Poussart Dart, that's the two stuff, really were the folk rockers back in the 70s. You know, that's how we, started our careers and built our fan base, and that's why we're still playing all these years later.
And I'm so happy you're still kicking ass. It's great because it's, you know, that era, that music, that passion, that poetry is sometimes not recognized by others as time goes along. But, you know, you talk about back in the day, this is the day, and you're keeping that alive. So, Rex, if you would, please, give us a little biography of you and the Aztec Two-Step, and I'm curious as to how you got the name.
Well, I wrote the very first song for Jack Kerouac. Jack Kerouac was the godfather of the Beat Generation. Grew up in Lowell, Massachusetts. Moved down to New York City, went to Columbia University, and set the world on fire. And he and Allen Ginsberg and Lawrence Ferlinghetti and all of the great literary guys of the age had a big influence on me. When I was in college, I got to take a few courses, and I really, really got inspired by that. So I wrote this song called, you know, The Persecution and Restoration of Dean Moriarty, and because of my interest in the Beats, I wanted to do a name that that reflected that. And it was a line, Aztec Two-Step was a line from a Lawrence Ferlinghetti poem. And the poem goes something like this. See, we walked into this place and a couple of papers cast us doing an Aztec Two-Step. I was about to split when this dame comes up and says, you and I could really exist. Wow, I says, only the next day she has bad teeth and really hates poetry. So, as a 19 or 20-year-old kid, that's pretty impressive. What we found out afterwards was that Aztec Two-Step is it's a slang for dysentery down in Mexico. So
okay, yep.
Little did we know. Montezuma's Revenge, Aztec Two-Step, you know. But, it's... And the reason why was everybody, all the duos were using their last names. And I don't know, Schulman, Fowler, Fowler, Schulman. It just didn't roll off the tongue. And we wanted to be different. So that was an attempt at being different.
Did the collaboration work right away when you first started?
You know, it really, really did. And I'll tell you, the barometer was startling. I was the guy, you know, Neil was still in college. He was studying music up in Boston. And, you know, he according to Neil, he never went to class. He would go to these open mic things. And that's where we met, at one of these little open mics on a Monday or Tuesday night in Boston. But in the meantime, I was older and I'd been there a little longer and I had some gigs lined up. And when I played solo, I always this is a sports program, right? You have something to do with sports. I would get golf applause. I'm sure everybody knows. When I would finish playing the song, it would be very polite, nice little golf applause. Well, when Neil and I played our first gig, it was at the Nameless Coffee House in Cambridge, which I believe still runs Sunday afternoon concerts, free concerts, and they're packed. There were over 200 college kids in the audience, and we went up and did a 5-song set and blew the room away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, blew the room away. And it was startling. I mean, dumbfounded, because neither Neil and I had ever had that kind of response to us, our solo sets, and I don't think we'd ever been in front of more than 20 people, let alone 200. So it really was obvious that we had something that was pretty good.
So you got some rock arena whistles and shout-outs rather than the golf applause. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, we really did. I mean, standing ovation, kids just going wild and, being mobbed after the set, these kids would want to, they brought us up to their colleges. I remember, some girls from Wheaton College, and of course back then it was an all-girls school, so, hello.
Well, that's cool, and the famous guitar hero, Rex. When you guys when you do create from that moment on, and when you get together with your writing, your poetry, and your music, your harmonies to me seem they seem almost. I have a friend who's a music director at a high school, and he talks about the Beach Boys being their harmonies being family harmonies, that they have the voices are very, very different from a lot of other people who get together to harmony. Your harmonies almost sound like family harmonies, almost like you guys, have sort of grew up in the same environment.
Right. And it's funny you say that, because honestly, if I'm listening to a record of ours, sometimes I have no idea who's singing lead or who's singing harmony, because it really is that close.
Mm-hmm.
The Everly Brothers would be the perfect example.
Yes, another one.
And siblings always sing. There's always a very special quality about good sibling vocal, groups and bands. The Roach Sisters from that era come to mind. But, the Carter family, all that stuff. I mean, they sang together because they grew up singing together. But I think it's just one of those uncanny things where our harmonies are very close to the lead person's voice. I mean, there is some thing, and it's interesting that you pointed that out.
Well, I remember that, and the other thing was David was telling me how to sometimes when you listen to music, it's a lot different than looking at music and listening to it. And that's when he pointed out that sibling sound. And I wasn't really aware of that. And the other one was, I forget the family. There was some family who sang Hair back in the 60s and 70s. And they had a few songs as well, hit songs. But it's that familiar voice. And when I listen to you guys, I hear that. So it's pretty remarkable. And you guys are still doing it.
Yeah, that's the remarkable thing. I mean, who would have thunk, if you'd asked us 45 years ago, we'd still be together, we would have probably just laughed, Of course not. Who the hell knows? I don't think anybody plans things like that, but, there are those bands that did have hung in, the Rolling Stones are the most obvious thing, where these guys, have hung together as a band, and, Aerosmith up your way, those guys. It's just one of those things. We were fortunate to have a good foundation. We got a tremendous amount of FM airplay and college airplay, progressive FM and college stations, and we didn't have the breakthrough single that some of our contemporaries did. You know, all the, well, like America and all the duos that, you know, last name duos, you know, the Seals and Crofts and Loggins and Messinas and Simon and Garfunkels, you know. But the household names, but people who did hear us felt like they discovered us. It wasn't handed to them on a AM radio format. It was something their, maybe their siblings had turned them on, or their college roommates, you know, when they're walking down the, you know, the dorm room corridor and somebody's blasting our record out, you know, or maybe on their local FM station. You know, so people had a sense of pride that they discovered this band that they liked. So I think sometimes that can work in your favor. And it probably is the reason why people come out and really, you know, now it's, we're part of the tapestry of their lives, and at a time when it was very exciting, and you know, the freedom and you know, the stepping into adulthood, that's a very you know, amazing time in people's lives. So they go back to that time, and they bring that with them to the shows. And as long as they close their eyes and don't look, you can bring them back there. But if they open their eyes, it could be a very scary thing.
Exactly. I choose not to look in the mirror as often as possible myself for that very reason.
Who is that? It's my English, you know, grandmother. Oh, my God.
I look at an age in the paper, and I'll say, look at that old bat, and then I'll realize, oh, that's a classmate of mine. We're talking with Rex Fowler of Aztec Two-Step, and you don't look like the hippies anymore, but that's another story. Do you find, Rex, and I want to get to what you'll be doing up here when you get here next month in Rockport, but do you find, when you look back at your lyrics or you play your songs that you've had together, that the lyrics you wrote back then, while they were so meaningful back then, they have maybe a little bit different meaning now, and maybe even more of a profound meaning than maybe you had intended originally, or vice versa?
Well, that's a good question, or observation. But, you know, because we get feedback directly, because we're, you know, when you perform in our genre, you know, you go out to the merch table after the show, or... you know, people can email us. It's not like, you know, it's not like the aforementioned, you know, guys, you know, show up in their tour buses. They each have their own, and they, you know, they go do a show, and they're pretty isolated from their audience, but we're not. And so we get some very heartfelt feedback from some of the songs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm aware, I try to write from a poetic point of view, because that's what I grew up, I mean, that was my role model, you know, Bob Dylan, John Lennon, you know, the two most influential artists, Donovan is another one, I would put him right up there. So, you know, they set the bar. I mean, then you have, you know, Joni Mitchell, James Taylor, these guys, you know, set the bar. And if you didn't work your ass off to do the best you could, then what's the point? And so I think that, I think that those songs really did hold up according to our fan base. And we still enjoy playing them. You know, we really do. And, you know, I got a chance to hang out with Allen Ginsberg.
Wow.
Two or three times. And I asked him, I said, do you ever change a lyric, or do you ever adjust anything that you've written? He said, I do it all the time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Okay, yep.
And he said, you know, and, you know, even Howl, his great, you know, masterpiece, when he went out and performed his stuff, he would tweak it here and there. So it's what's great is that I can go back and, like, even at, like, probably our best-known song, Highway Song, you know, you know, there was a line that I was just trying to, you know, figure out how could I get a better rhyme scheme to, you know, to one of the lyrics, and it, which more or less repeated itself in the first and third verses. And, you know, 15 years later, you know, I found the word. So I used it.
That's cool.
A song like Killing Me, you know, I think I used cement as one with meant. And so, you know, same thing. 15, 20 years later, I found a better wine scheme, you know, that didn't. So that's great, that, you know, we have an opportunity. And then the interpretations, you know, I think as you get older, you get more soulful and or reflective. And so, you know, you can go back and, you know, when you make a record, you're stuck, you know, that's the arrangement. That's what people
right.
basically want to hear. And that's what they, you know, but the cool thing is, as long as you don't go too far off, you know, the melody and stuff, there's room for interpretation. So, you know, look, if I'm clicking on all eight that night and I feel really good, you know, maybe I'll play with it a little bit or reinterpret it a little bit. And that's the beauty of,
yeah,
being able to perform year after year and get familiar with it.
Well, it's dynamic and it's living. And sometimes, you know, I think of classics sometimes in classical music and how different maestros will interpret the music. It's basically the same, but there are these tweaks. And I did want to ask you about changing songs, because one time I tried to edit a video for someone and I just couldn't get satisfied with it. And finally, the guy over me, the director, said, you know, you got to end it somewhere. You got to publish the damn thing. And and that's it. It's over once you've done that.
So yeah.
You know,
out the door.
Do you guys?
But that's a good thing too, because everything in the arts is not written, it's rewritten, and you could go on forever trying to make it just right. And, you know, mm-hmm. I guess that's one thing Kerouac never had a problem with, that because, you know, the famous quote from one of his contemporary writers, Truman Capote, was that's not writing, that's typing. But there would be a lot of people that would disagree with him on that.
Oh, yeah.
And especially, I tell you, for folks who aren't familiar with the book On the Road, it's a seminal book that's now an American classic. It was published in 1957. And so it's if you read the last paragraph of On the Road, that is why Allen Ginsberg went to his grave saying that Jack Kerouac was the singular most important artist of his era. And he was an amazing, amazing poet.
All right,
poet.
So you have given us a homework assignment that we have to do our diligence on. Now, let's get to the issue at hand. You will be playing in Rockport, I believe, on July 2, is that correct?
Yes, with the aforementioned JPD,
mm-hmm.
John Pousset Dart, and his band. And we're going on second because we have a party that afternoon, and we got to drive about 3 hours to get there. So
too much.
So he'll be going on first, so we can get there, and then we'll be jumping on stage afterwards. And then, usually he'll bring his four-piece band. I'm not sure. I think he's bringing a trio this time, and we're playing with our bassist Fred Holman. So,
Rex, do you first of all, I got two final questions, I think. This is so fascinating, I could go on forever. But the way you and Neil have been together and collaborated and so on, do you find, and to use a sports term, it's like in hockey, you know each other's moves if you're a line mate, or in football, you know where the receiver's going to go before he gets there. You guys, when you work concerts, is it, I know there still must be some butterflies before a concert, because that's what pros do, but do you sort of know each other's moves as you go along, and it sort of weaves into to an evening, you know, I don't want to say seamlessly, but you get there because you know each other so well?
You know, what's interesting is, you know, Neil and I are 6 years apart in age. He was barely 18 when I met him, and I was the worldly 24-year-old, you know, and there was always that difference always kind of kept us apart for the first, you know, 10 or 15 years in mm-hmm. terms of, you know, I wouldn't hang out with him.
Okay, yep.
After a show. He's like my kid's leather, you know, get out of here, you know. Go away, go. So, you know, that was the foundation. But on stage, there is an uncanny thing where we, you know, where we absolutely cover each other's proverbial ass.
Uh-huh.
And we know the nuances, and we have complete different stage personas and in real life personalities. And it works. You know, he always said, I'm more of a, the ad-libber. And, you know, if I ad-lib and it lays an egg, he's right there. He's picking me up. And I know when to give him his space and let him do his, you know, Neil has these long, thought-out, very dry and very witty, you know, introductions to songs and stuff that, you know, that that he spends a lot of time crafting before he even debuts them on stage and stuff. So we you know, we're kind of like the Jerry Lewis and
Dean Martin. Yeah.
Completely different personalities, completely, you know, different kinds of humor. And so that's a big part of our stage personality, is the way that we interact with each other and whatnot.
I
want to just bookend this thing, saying that Neil and I have become really good friends, you know, and we're like the old married couple that finally got through, you know, 40 years of you know, telling each other what to do and getting annoyed with it, you know, where it's just fine, everything, you know, just fine,
and
don't worry, you know. It's all good. It's all good. So we've gotten to that place, and it's a beautiful thing. I mean, it really is. It's hard work. You know, you don't have a tiebreaker when you're in a duo. You know, there's not that third person to say, no, we're going to do this, and two against one, sorry. So, you know, it's like a marriage, and it's, and, you know, the nuances and whatnot. So, you know, it's
right.
An interesting dynamic.
And again, we talked about the mirror. Inside, you still get the thrill of going out there on that stage.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, well, first of all, it's all we know how to do. You know, so we're not going to, you know, that's we're too old to switch horses, you know. But, it still is. And it's because people come and make us feel so welcome. And without, you know, look, if we didn't have the audience, that would be it.
All right,
we would probably sit around in our underwear and play a song or two in our living room now and then, but that would be it. But, you know, we're able to still go out and do this and make people happy, and it makes us happy, so what's wrong with that?
It's the digital age. You guys are unplugged, but you still have to, not have to, but I presume you still want to sell your songs and you want to sell your music and you want people to... you want to interact with you. What's the best way now to find out more about Aztec Two Step, to see you guys, and maybe to get some of your music?
Well, they could start with going to our website, and you can order all of our stuff online in our store, or all the, you know, the downloading things, the iTunes and all that stuff, CD Babies, all that. We're everywhere everybody else is. If they Google us and, you know, or get on one of the streaming or you know, downloading sites. But I would ask, if you're interested in an app, go to my website, because it, you know, we'll make a little bit more money, and it's a lot easier than having to deal with Amazon.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm. So just Google Aztec Two Step, you'll get there. AztecTwoStep.com. Rex, I can't wait to see how it goes on July 2, and I'm honored that you took the time to talk to me today. I really appreciate it. I learned a lot, and I'm going to check out Ginsberg.
Great. And one other thing,
yep,
Rick, and thank you. I have to say, really good interview, and I'm not blowing smoke.
Appreciate it.
You know, we mentioned earlier about, you know, how we're, you know, we look in the mirror, you know, and you know, we're at the age, you know, when people hit 60, you know, they always hear, oh, 60's the new 30, and then that's good for about 2 weeks, and then you realize, no, 60, how old my freaking grandparents are.
Yep.
But to quote the great Bob Dylan, he may look like Robert Frost, but he feels just like Jesse James, and I got to say the same thing for me.
I love it. I love it, and God bless you, man. Keep it going.
Thanks, Rick. Same to you.
Thank you, Rex. Good luck. Take care.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye. That is Rex Fowler of Aztec Two-Step, and I'm humbled. Oh, my God. I got to talk to a major league artist, and I'm still shaking. I got goosebumps.
That's great.
It was cool. It was cool. They will be at the Shaolin Lu. Shaolin Lu. Okay. Karen Hurlitz always corrects me every time. But I want to thank Karen for getting a hold of Rex Fowler's people for me, and we were able to talk with Rex. I really appreciate that. Great interview, and again, go up to the Shaolin Lu in Rockport. The concert is July 2. And my thanks again to Karen Hurlitz. And also, Karen's the one who got me a hold of them, but I'm trying to think of who else. I do want to give another thank you here for setting this up with Rex Fowler. And, of course, now I can't find it. So, oh, there it is. Well, it's just Robin at Aztec Two-Step. Do I have a last name for Robin? She's the one. No, I don't. And Robin's the one who set it up for it. Oh, Robin Kroll. There we go. Robin Kroll. I appreciate it. Thank you, Robin, for setting up that interview for us. Appreciate it. And, again, that's with the John Pousset Dart Band on July 2. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention with you is, again, Josh, and this is Trending Now with Josh Arnold and Rick Moore. Of course, this is the wrong paper. But, again, Chief Campanello and the opioid problem in the front page headlines of the Gloucester Times. That's not it. But according to Chief Campanello, 5,000, is that was the number that was up there today, I think? 5,000 have been treated by the ANGEL program, and I'm thinking that's probably nationwide.
Could be.
That's amazing.
I saw the headline. I didn't haven't had a chance to read the article as yet.
But it continues, and let's see. I have not going to play those interviews. I will post them. I do have – actually, they are posted already. Tony Verga received a nice award from the Gloucester City Council and from – Mayor Safatia Romeo Taken on Wednesday, I believe it was, when the Veterans Administration's new clinic opened, had the ribbon-cutting ceremony in Gloucester. They didn't actually open, but they had the ribbon-cutting ceremony. And Tony was given an award for his work as a state representative with the veterans. And I know you're very familiar with Representative Verga and his work.
Yes. Yes, I remember Tony from way back. He also was a Rotarian.
Of course. And also he was involved with the fisheries too, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Work a lot for the fishermen? Okay. All right. Well, now, here's the dilemma. I'm not sure what we're going to do next Friday because I have been called in to help out a friend at Gloucester High School for the next couple of weeks. And so I'm thinking that we're going to have to put this on hold for a couple of weeks, which saddens me because I love working with you, Josh, and it's great. Great interviews. And then we'll just have to post on the website when we're going to get back together again, because after the 2 weeks are gone, you know, then you've got
into the summer.
So you've got the summer. You've got the fiesta, 4th of July weekend, et cetera. And then we'll deal with it from there. But in the meantime, I know that you've got people that will be lined up, and we're going to come back like gangbusters in the fall for sure with all your political stuff.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank
Fair
you,
enough.
Sir.
Thank you.
All right. That is Josh Arnold. Our producer and engineer is Bill Proposky. This is Trending Now with Josh and Rick. And again, my thanks to our guest today, to Josh's guest, Dave.
David Slade.
I turned your mic off for some reason. David Slade of the Cricket Press.
Correct.
In Manchester by the Sea. And, of course, to Rex Fowler of the Aztec Two-Step Band, which will be playing up at Chilin Lu on July 2.
With Don Kelly.
Yes, and that is?
President of Wayside Trailers and member of the Beverly Rotary Club.
All righty, very good. That's Josh Arnold. I'm Rick Moore. Again, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Don't forget, we have North Shore Today every day on MSONewsSports.com, and it's news, ports, or new sports. We do news and sports here on the North Shore. And we'll have our baseball game. It is a 4 p.m. start, according to Bill Newell, the voice of the North Shore. 4 p.m. It'll be Belmont at Danvers. That'll be our broadcast time on Monday coming up. Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
This is MSO Radio at MSONewsSports.com.